Senate Bill 151 is an act to regulate deferred presentment service transactions.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Joni Cutler, and I represent the South Dakota Advocacy Network for Women. And it's rather uncommon for the Advocacy Network for Women to appear in front of the Commerce Committee. But Senate Bill 151 brings us before you this morning. And before I go through the bill with you, I'd like to just give you a little bit of the history of why we're here with Senate Bill 151. It's come to the attention of many of our members and board members that there's a type of lending that goes on in South Dakota, commonly referred to as payday lending. And while there are many schemes of this type, payday lending, as known as deferred presentment, is the most common of these types of schemes. And so we don't want to paint with too broad of a brush here, but we are here to say that we have documented several abuses of this kind of lending. And with all due respect to the opponents of the bill, we're here really to talk about the abuses in the industry. South Dakota and nationwide, the banking industry as a whole has been deregulated. And South Dakota repealed most of its provisions regarding small loans back through the 80s and 90s. And because of that, the consumers in South Dakota have been left with very few protections. And so that's why we need Senate Bill 151, because of the types of abuses that go on in this type of industry. Before we talk about what the bill does, I'd like to give you just a little bit of information about the industry. This comes from a study that was done in the year 2000 by the Consumer Federation of America. 23 states have specific loan laws that regulate this type of industry. 19 states, Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, ban or prohibit through their usury laws specific prohibitions or interest rate caps. 8 states are without any rules or usury limits at all. And I do have a handout that I'd like to give you that just for your reference, shows. Thank you. It's Representative Olson beat you to it there. Thank you. And I guess I need to explain how the industry works for the purposes of public testimony. I know you who serve on the Commerce Committee may be aware of how the industry works, but if you'd bear with me for purposes of public testimony, I'd like to go through how the industry works. It's a growing industry. Because of deregulation nationwide, statistics show that this industry went from approximately 500 of these types of lenders in the year 1995 to over 7,000 by the year 2000. For those who abuse people who are in a desperate situation, we used to have a name for people who really price gouged other people, and we used to call it loan sharking or price gouging. Today the buzzword is predatory lending, but we've sanitized a lot of our language to make this type of activity acceptable. And again, we're talking about the abuses of lenders where there is absolutely no regulation and they are allowed to charge any type of interest rate, any type of fee, and to incur those costs over and over again in a short period of time. These types of loans are typically short-term, high-interest loans for amounts of $100 to $500, typically. And that's why a lot of the model legislation you see across the country talks in terms of limiting the amount that a borrower can borrow to $300. Our bill, we feel, is more generous than that to the industry here, and we try to set the limit there at $500. I do have a letter from a gentleman who testified in the earlier committee hearing, and I'll distribute that, and if you could bear with me, I would like to read it into the record. To the members of the House Commerce Committee, my name is Larry Noah, and I am presently employed as a loan officer for Midwest Partners Federal Credit Union in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I have been in the financial industry for over 30 years and have served as president of three different credit unions during that time, and as mentioned above, most recently as a loan officer. I had the opportunity to testify briefly at the Senate Commerce Committee regarding Senate Bill 151 a couple of weeks ago and wished I could be in attendance today, but due to a shortage of staff, I'm unable to attend. During my tenure with this credit union, I've had the opportunity to see firsthand the problems that some of our credit union members have encountered once they get involved with the payday lenders. If they are unable to repay the initial monies that they borrow, the lender is more than willing to extend the loan. They will add the interest cost and other costs to the initial loan, which then requires a larger payback when the extended loan is due again and at a later date, which is normally within 2 to 3 weeks. If the individual is unable to repay the loan again, the balance continues to be, quote, rolled over, end quote, with the interest costs and fees being added in again and getting totally out of hand, with the consumer left wondering, how will I ever get out of this commitment? As mentioned above, I've granted loans to some of our members so they could pay off the obligations that they had to these lenders, and have also tried very hard to educate our membership regarding the pitfalls of this industry. I realize that there are consumers that are high-risk borrowers and that the payday lenders are perhaps the only place they can borrow money, and these lenders should be compensated for their risk. What I do not agree with is their ability to rewrite the obligation and continually add the high interest cost and fees again and again. Perhaps these consumers should be referred to a consumer credit counseling service. I respectfully request your support of Senate Bill 151 because it provides some of the necessary limitations to stop some of the abuses in the industry. Respectfully submitted, Larry Noah, Loan Officer, Midwest Partners, FCU. And thank you for letting me read that into the record. We have, according to the Division of Banking in South Dakota, approximately 50 such lenders operating now in South Dakota, and we would expect that that industry would grow. The industry boasts a return on the rate of investment. If you invest in one of these businesses, all the figures I could find said you could expect a return on your investment of 30% to 36%. So it's a growing and prospering industry. Many of the things that you'll find in Senate Bill 151 comes from the scheme of the industry's Best Practices Act, and I'd like to also hand those out. And you'll be able to refer to that as we go through the bill. I have one more handout. I probably have more than one handout. This is a letter from the Division of Banking in response to a complaint that was made on a case that one of the witnesses testified to in the Senate committee. It's a very egregious, unconscionable case in which a borderline retarded man was solicited through the mail with a coupon that said, if you've had a bankruptcy, you could come in and take out a $100 to $700 loan and you could rebuild your credit. So this man came in with the coupon, and he signed the forms. And then they told him that he started making payments every 2 weeks. And that's also typical of this industry. It works such that the fees, if you're paying $17.50 for $100 that you borrow, that maybe doesn't seem so outrageous. But when that's for a two-week period and it comes due, if you don't have $100 on day one, it's going to make it pretty tough for you to have $117.50 on day 15, or if it's $200, $235 on day 15. Anyway, this man came in, and they said they would give him a rebate if he came in and let them roll the loan over. And they ended up rolling him over about 13 times on that loan. And he had paid just short of $2,000 on that $200 loan, and had never been able to pay the $200 back, but he was able to pay that fee amount every 2 weeks. So he was coming in and paying that. And he finally his manager noticed what was happening with this and went to, as you can see, she went to the Division of Banking, she went to Consumer Protection in the Attorney General's office. And I think the letter indicates that there just is simply no, he was able to do this to this man because there's no regulation, there's no limit to what you can do. And we know that people, for whatever reasons, become desperate sometimes. And these are the type of people who are either not financially literate, they don't understand how money works, they're in a tight situation because medical debts have built up, they've maybe lost a job, maybe they've gone through a divorce and have bad credit at the moment. Or whatever reason it is, they may turn to this type of lender. And we're not saying by any means that there's no place for this type of lender ever to be found in South Dakota. The bill is just simply about curbing some of the abuses that can so easily occur in this type of industry. I have a little example, and if I could bother one of the pages to open the board doors there. Representative Olson is taking care of me, and Representative Solem, thank you. And being a college professor, I find it easier to show you what we're talking about. And this is really a typical example of how this might work. B is the borrower, L is the lender. B needs $200. He comes in, and the terms of the loan are $17.50 per $100 that's borrowed, and the term of the loan is for 15 days. So borrower comes in on day one and borrows $200 and owes $235 to the lender. On day 15, borrower doesn't have the funds available in the account. He's presented a check to the lender, and the lender's going to hold the check, and the borrower is either going to pay the fee up front, or the lender's going to hold the check with the fee amount in it until that 15th day. On day 15, when the borrower can't pay it back, which 75% of all the people who come in for these type of loans can't make that first payment, so 75% are going to be rolled over at least once. And the average from the states, from the national survey that was done, the average number of rollovers is 10 to 13 rollovers per borrower. So borrower comes in, can't pay on day 15, renews the loan. This renewal is then what is known as a rollover, and is charged the fee again. By day 30, the borrower owes $270. If we figure that out in an APR, an annual percentage rate, that comes out to about 457% APR. That is very typical on these type of loans. And sure, if you really are just going to borrow the money for 15 days, maybe that APR doesn't mean much. But knowing that the typical rollover is 10 to 13 times, oftentimes what can happen with absolutely no limitations on the rollover is that the borrower sometimes even pays back the principal amount in the rollovers or pays more, as this gentleman did that borrowed the $200. He had paid $2,000 but still owed the money. If you compare that to a typical credit card cash advance where the borrower takes out $200 on day one, by day 30, even at a 50% APR, which I don't think any of us would sign up for a credit card that offered a 50% APR,